Well, once again, you guys, thank you so much for all of you who contributed to Christmas Giving and gave an amazing holiday to 10 families this Christmas. You guys are incredible people. So thankful. Pastor Eric and I are just humbled and honored to be your pastors. So we're really excited today. I'm very excited today to wrap up our series, Non-Anxious Christmas. It's been a really cool series, hasn't it? Kind of this idea of being a non-anxious presence into kind of anxious places. And I believe God's done a lot in our heart and kind of getting us ready even as we move into 2022. But as we move out of 2021 and really out of this series, I want to do a little bit of a recap. And I'm going to kind of do two things today. Obviously, as always, I want to introduce an idea, but I'm going to do it a little bit practically in this idea of I'd like for you to kind of take your year and find the breaking points, find the breaking moments, and really convert those items into prayer. And you'll understand more of what I'm talking about as we get into this, but I want to really do kind of a year-end recap with us and really kind of give us that kind of activity. So one of the traditions in the Hayes house that has started to take place over the last several years is that we, as we move into the holidays, we always watch a movie. We usually will watch like Elf and the Grinch and those kind of things, but those are kind of like happenstance. Like we're going to watch them, but we don't know when we're going to watch them. But there's one movie that we set aside to watch every year, and it's A Wonderful Life. It's an old movie. It was shot in the 40s, the late 40s, I believe. So I want to kind of take that movie and I want to kind of give us a little bit of an end cap here of the year. And I want to kind of try to pull some of that together. So that's going to be the goal for this morning. Let me pray over us and let's launch in today. Father, thank you for this time. And I just pray you would speak powerfully through me, God. God, I pray that you would open all of our ears and all of our hearts to be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray, God, that even this time, even though we're learning and we're growing, God, I pray that even this time would be glorifying to you, would be magnifying to you. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you love us so much. You're so incredibly good. And as we engage into your word today, I just pray that you would illuminate us, enlighten us, and you would change us, God. We want to be more like you. We want to learn from you. We want to be closer to you. So we thank you for that today, and we thank you that you're going to do that work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, guys, It's a Wonderful Life. And the story, if you've not seen the movie, there will be massive spoiler alerts in this. But like, guys, the movie, it was like 80 years ago, I think. So like, hey, if you haven't watched it by now, that's on you. Okay, it's on you. So there's a guy named George Bailey, and he grows up in a town called Bedford Falls. And he's a good guy, but he has grandiose dreams. You might even call them fantasy dreams, like maybe not even rooted dreams. Kind of fantasies about traveling the world and getting, as he would say, getting out of this crummy little town, shaking the dust off of this crummy little town off my feet and going and doing these great things. Well, what ends up happening is that George Bailey ends up staying in Bedford Falls his entire life. And so the movie really is about kind of the tension between the fantasy dreams that we have and then the reality that we live in. And there's, it's a fascinating movie. There's a reason we watch it every year because it's so good for grounding us as a family. And it's just a movie that we've come to love. But it's really fascinating to me because I think we all deal with that kind of tension. And as we're going to see in a couple moments, there are breaking point moments for George Bailey. And there are obviously breaking point moments for us as well. But I want to kind of, again, try to tie some of this. But as I launch in, I just want to make a simple statement. And the simple statement is the movie's called It's a Wonderful Life. And we're recapping our 2021 life. And we're all living life. And I just wanted you to know that God came to give us abundant life. God came to give us a wonderful life, a really good life. John 10:10, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But it's Jesus speaking. He says, I have come that you would have life and you would have a wonderful life. Now, he doesn't actually say that. It says, I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. So he does say that you'd have a wonderful life. It just doesn't say that you'd have a wonderful life, but that they may have life and have it to the full. And George Bailey in this movie, he wanted a wonderful life for everybody. If you follow the movie, it's really interesting because he actually gives of himself and gives of his dreams for the good of other people over and over and over again. He jumps into, at the beginning of his life, he jumps into an icy lake to save his brother's life and loses his hearing in one ear. And then later, as he's working at a drugstore and he actually protects his boss, Mr. Gower, who I won't go all into it, but has an issue, and he puts poison in a medicine that he wants George Bailey to deliver out, and George refuses to do it. And Mr. Gower gets really angry and then realizes that he's made a terrible mistake and that George has actually saved Mr. Gower's life, basically, or at least a life in prison. Later, George's father has a stroke, and the company that his father runs, the bank and loan, is in need, and George steps in and takes it over. He even forfeits his honeymoon to make sure that the bank and loan can actually stay afloat during the Great Depression. And so George is always sacrificing himself so that others can have a wonderful life. And even though it's called A Wonderful Life, and George is always sacrificing in order for other people to have a wonderful life, what we actually see in the movie is that most of it is actually not filled with a wonderful life. Even in the moments I just mentioned, it's full of trial, and it's full of losing hearing in your ear, or disappointing and angering your boss, or giving up a dream to stay behind and take on responsibility, or disappointing maybe someone that you love. There's all of these things. The movie, It's a Wonderful Life, is filled with trial. In our life, It's a Wonderful Life is filled with trial. I think it's one of the greatest movies ever made, because it's our story. And I love that. And so all of us have a dream for a wonderful life. We dream of kids and, you know, spouses. Some of us don't dream of that. We might dream of singleness, but we dream of being industrious or accomplishing great things or having great experiences or maybe traveling the world or whatever. And just like the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and just like our life, It's a Wonderful Life, it's full of beautiful things. It's also full of trial. And life throws us curveballs. And out of nowhere, we see pain and fear and problems and deaf ears and missed honeymoons and missed dreams and failures and disappointments and stresses and pressures and responsibilities. And the thing is that through the wonderful life and our wonderful life and all the trials, what we do is we just keep pressing on. And we've been doing that, right? I mean, we've been doing that for COVID and racial tension and political tension and all this. And as we're moving out of 2021, we've probably had some breaking points. And in the movie, George Bailey has a breaking point. They lose $8,000. George doesn't actually lose it. His uncle does. And they misplace $8,000, which current money is over 100 grand. It's six-figure dollars that they misplace. And basically, the idea is that there's going to be fraudulent charges brought against them. They're going to go to prison. They're going to go to jail. They're going to lose the company. And all of the stuff's going to kind of fall. And George Bailey has a breaking point. And he actually goes out to by himself onto a bridge. He's thinking about ending his life. And it's this breaking point moment. And I love in the movie what happens in the breaking point moment, because it's not a hyper-spiritual movie. It's, to my knowledge, not a Christian movie. But as George Bailey hits a breaking point, he does something. He's sitting in a bar. And I want to make sure I read this to you. He says this: "God, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope." And I've already done a little bit of teaching, obviously, this morning, but I want to just bring in this idea of breaking point prayers. Breaking point prayers. It's this idea that when the wonderful life that we have, that's always full of trials, when it kind of culminates and it brings us to a breaking point, what do we do? What do we do in the breaking point? Well, I'm going to give you the big idea. I've already given it to you, but I'll give it to you again. Pray. We pray. That's what we do. We seek God. We go and we run to God. "God, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope." And if you follow the movie, God actually sends an angel down to actually rescue George's life. And then he actually shows George what Bedford Falls and George's friends and family would be like if George wasn't there to be who he was. And there's this perspective shift. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to give you one other thing here before I jump into points this morning. I thought this was fascinating, is that George Bailey is the main character, but James Stewart is actually the actor that plays George Bailey. And I actually researched his life a little bit. James Stewart actually won an Academy Award for Best Actor in the movie The Philadelphia Story in 1940. In 1941, James Stewart actually went to war. He went to World War II. He was one of the very first actors that actually did that. And he actually went to World War II. And because of his status, they kind of used his person or his personality to kind of for war efforts and things. But he really wasn't happy about that. He was actually a licensed pilot. And so he actually started pressing for the ability to get into active duty. And so by 1943, he actually had flown active missions in Germany, England, a couple other countries. He earned the Flying Cross. He flew a B-24 Liberator in a bombardment group, the 445th Bombardment Group. And he was promoted to major following a mission in Germany on January 7, 1944. So he actually flew lots of active duty missions into war. He actually ended up being one of the fastest people promoted to colonel, and he was promoted to the level of colonel in 4 years, which is one of the fastest in history by 1945. And then in 1945, as he came back to the States, he was actually, and I've read different things on this, so I'm not sure how far and how deep this went, but I've heard from several sources that he was dealing with PTSD, war-induced post-traumatic syndrome disorder. PTSD, he actually thought about going home to Pennsylvania and just kind of running his father's shop and just kind of laying low. But in 1946, right after he had gotten back from the war, he received an invitation to do a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. And during filming, he experienced, and I'm reading this off of some of the research that I did, during filming, Stewart experienced doubts about his abilities and continued to consider retiring from acting while he was shooting the movie, while he was filming the movie. And then, although It's a Wonderful Life was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Stewart's 3rd Best Actor nomination, which he didn't win for that movie, It's a Wonderful Life received mixed reviews and was only a moderate success at the box office, failing to cover its own production costs. Didn't even make enough money to cover its own production costs. In the decades since its release, It's a Wonderful Life has grown to define Stewart's film persona and is widely considered a Christmas classic. According to the American Film Institute, it's one of the 100 best American movies ever made. Now, this is what's so interesting to me, you guys, is that It's a Wonderful Life is full of trial. Our wonderful life is full of trial and breaking points. Even the filming of the movie and the actual actor, James Stewart's life was full of beauty and trial and struggle. And maybe the only lesson greater than the life of movie character George Bailey is the life of the person who actually played George Bailey, which was James Stewart. And so what do we do when our life is beautiful, yes, but full of trial, and when we hit our breaking points? And the answer is that we pray, that we slow down and we pray and we take all of the mess and we take it to God. And by the way, in January, we're going to start a series called Slow Down Spirituality. And we're going to spend our time in January praying, 21 days of prayer, which by the way, will run January 10th through the 28th of 2022, Monday through Friday for those 3 weeks, 7 to 8 a.m. We will be online. You can be at Zoom on your computer, wherever you are, be in your jammies, whatever. We're going to put the meeting ID and the passcode out for everybody to have so that everybody can join from wherever you are. But 21 days of prayer, slow down spirituality. And I want to challenge you with this. I want you to be there the first 3 days. I want you the first 3 days. So the first 3 days of that first week, man, whatever you can do, be there, because you're going to get a sense of what it's like and you're going to sense how much it's going to make an impact in your life. I really, truly believe that. And, you know, I know some people are like, I can't be there for 3 weeks. I can't do it. I just, all this stuff. Great. Be there for 3 days. And then once you experience it for 3 days, then if you can't be there, cool. That's up to you. But I just want you to experience it because it's going to change your life. I know that's a big statement, but it's going to change your life. So be there, make a commitment for the first 3 days. So I want to give you, with the time we have left, I want to give you 5 points as we kind of wrap up 2021. Just some thoughts on prayer as we turn our attention to prayer. George Bailey, oh God, I'm not a praying man. If you're up there, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope, and kind of, again, having some fun here at the end of the year and just using It's a Wonderful Life as a skeleton for our teaching time here together. But here's our thoughts about praying. Number one, holy prayers don't have to be prayed from holy places. So George Bailey's in a bar. And yeah, God hears prayers from a bar. God hears prayers from wherever they are prayed from. And that's not just geography, by the way. You go, well, it's a bar. What? No, I'm talking like it's not just geography. There's never a bad place to pray. There are a lot of messy places from which to pray. So whether that's geographically somewhere that's messy, or whether that's something like sin or an affair or emotional immaturity, or I could go on and on and on. I don't know what your stuff is. You know what your stuff is. But you know what? There's no bad place to pray from. God hears prayers from all of the places. And prayer might seem like the last thing we should do, but it's the first thing that we need to do. Jonah 2 in the Bible, Jonah chapter 2, there's a whole story in the Old Testament about a guy named Jonah. And God tells him what to do. Jonah's he's a prophet. Woo, woo. Come on, VeggieTales. And I just heard it in my head. Jonah was a prophet. Ooh, ooh. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go look it up. But God gives Jonah an assignment. Jonah decides not to do the assignment. Jonah gets into trouble. Jonah actually tries to commit suicide, throws himself off a boat. God sends, and in God's grace, sends a whale to swallow Jonah. Yeah, by the way, you probably heard that story and think that God's punishing Jonah. God, in his grace, saves Jonah's life with a whale. Fascinating stuff. And then from the belly of a whale, Jonah begins to pray. And, you know, in the belly of a whale, it's acidic, it's nasty, it's a place of death, really. I mean, whales eat living things and then they die there. So it's a place of acid and decay and death. And from that place, Jonah prays while he's in the belly of a whale. And he's all wrapped up in seaweed and nasty stomach stuff. There is no bad place to pray from. You can pray from anywhere. And in the darkest times, we often want to run away from God, but running to him is the exact thing that we need to do. And so I just want to ask a question, is what could 2022 look like if we ran to God at deeper places than ever before? And whatever the horrible places are, the breaking points, the breaking point prayers, whether it's financial or physical or a bad spiritual place or a bad mental place or a bad relational place, whatever the acidic, dark places of death are, whatever the nasty places are, what if we just prayed? And what if we just said, God, I don't know what to say. I'm not you don't have to say I'm not a praying man. Maybe you are a praying man. Maybe you are a praying woman. Hey, God, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. Show me the way. There's not a bad place from which you make that prayer. So pray prayers from wherever you are, because there's not a bad place to pray prayers from. Number two, our prayers don't have to be long. You know, it's really interesting that George Bailey's prayer was actually like three lines, very short. And actually you go, oh, Pastor Scott, that's the movie. I mean, of course, we're not going to take prayer cues from a movie. Well, yeah, but let's take them from the Bible. Did you know that most of the prayers in the Bible are actually not very long? There's not like tons and tons of places where there's these long, elaborate, drawn-out prayers. Now, there are some, and those aren't bad prayers to pray either. But a lot of the prayers in the Bible are very simple and very short. They are short and to the point. Luke 18:13, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Tax collector says he's beating his breast. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mark 9:24, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. It's a very short prayer. I want to believe. Help me. Help me. Psalm 56:3, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. That's a short prayer. The Lord's Prayer, the most famous prayer in the Bible, is actually not really that long. In Matthew 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus actually, when he speaks to demonic, when he speaks to demons, you know what he says to him? Go, like out, you know, away from here. Get out of him, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, in the name of, that's how, and the disciples pray, in the name of Jesus, go. Like very short. And you know, for a lot of us, sometimes you maybe pray this prayer. I know I've prayed this prayer, Jesus, or help, or or whatever. Sometimes the most powerful prayers can be the shortest prayers. So number two, our prayers don't have to be long. Number three, the best prayers aren't necessarily eloquent. They're just authentic. The best prayers, I believe, are not eloquent, although eloquent prayers are wonderful. And if we can do eloquent prayers and they're authentic, that's wonderful. But if you got to pick one, I would pick authenticity over eloquent. And you know, when I talk to my kids, I'm a father, right? When I talk to my kids, I mean, sure, if they speak in proper English and like maybe they speak in, you know, like poetic language, that'd be great. But like what I really want is I actually really want to know authentically what's happening. I would much prefer authentic language over eloquent language. And, you know, when George Bailey said, "God, I'm not a praying man. If you're up there, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope." What an authentic prayer. And I think we would be better suited if we would lean more into the authentic and not worry so much about the eloquence. You know, it's so fascinating to me as a pastor, how many people are intimidated by prayer, by public prayer. And I think there's probably a lot of reasons for that. But one of them, I think, is what we're talking about is people don't want to pray because they think they have to do it in some sort of eloquent way. Or, well, if I pray like this, then it's going to be silly or it's going to sound dumb. Or what if I don't say the right thing? Or what if I get the theology wrong? You know, there's really not a lot of theology in "God, I'm not a praying man. But if you're up there, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope." But I believe God hears prayers like that. I believe those are the prayers that get his attention. If my child said that to me, and of course my child wouldn't say, "God, I'm not a praying man," because I'm not God and, you know, my son's not a man. But if my kid said, "Dad, I don't know how to say this, but if you can hear me, help me, show me the way, I'm at the end of my rope." I'm like, I'm on that like white on rice. Like I am in, man. Like one of my daughters prays, like I am in. You just, where do you need me? Where do you want me to go? And I think so many of us are intimidated by making prayer sound eloquent. You know, can we just get rid of that? Can we just like pitch that and chuck that? And can we just say simple prayers are beautiful prayers? Like maybe we could just say simple prayers are beautiful prayers. "God, I love you. God, I need you. God, I'm thankful. God, thank you for loving me. God, thanks for your faithfulness. God, I'm thankful for this today. God, I have so much gratitude for what you've done for me." Do you think that sounds silly or stupid or unreligious or non-eloquent? I think those are beautiful prayers. And I think sometimes we're threatened by prayer because we think it won't be eloquent enough. So let's just chuck that. And then I think another reason why maybe we get confounded about prayers and we don't just pray authentic prayers is because we don't actually know authentically what's actually happening on the inside of us anyway. We haven't taken enough time to slow down and stop and actually figure out what's happening. So we can't actually formulate it into words or a conversation with God our Father because we don't actually know what's happening anyway. And so I actually think in some ways the precursor to prayer is actually slowing down and becoming aware. We're going to talk about that more in the month of January as we talk about slow down spirituality. But in 2022, our prayers don't have to be eloquent, but let's make them real. And I believe God's going to meet us in a powerful way. Number four thought for this morning, God usually answers prayers in ways we don't expect. I don't know if usually, I wrote usually. Maybe that's too strong. Often, occasionally. How about God answers prayers in ways we don't expect because it's what's actually most helpful. Now, I think this is interesting because if we go to George Bailey's story, do you know what George actually probably wanted? If we could have stopped him and asked him what he actually wanted, "Hey, God, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, show me the," like probably without deep self-reflection, what he wanted was an $8,000 check. That's what he wanted. He just wanted the pain to go, the breaking point to go away. He wanted the breaking point to stop. So give me an $8,000 check and let's fix all this up and let me get back to my life. That's kind of how we pray and kind of how we think. Like, "Hey, God, I need an $8,000 check. Make it go away. Fix it. Fix it. Make it go away." But the thing is that's what George might have wanted. But what God wanted was actually holistically, not just financially, but holistically to intervene in George's life. George was struggling with wanting to leave Bedford Falls. George was struggling with Mr. Potter. George was struggling with his drafty old house. He was struggling with his kids. He was struggling with his career choices. He was struggling with a lot of things. And God wanted to intervene holistically in all of it. And George, and I love the beauty of the authenticity because maybe George didn't even know what he was asking for, but God answered the prayer, but not how George was expecting. Because I think George might have been expecting an $8,000 check. What George got was an old angel who jumped in a river and needed to be saved. And again, I want to be careful. We're just having fun. I know that It's a Wonderful Life movie is not theology. I get that, but I think all through the scripture, God answers prayers in ways that we may not be expecting, or we may not be used to. And I'll give you kind of an example here. Israel wanted a political Messiah. Israel was under Roman authority, and they were being taxed heavily, and they wanted a political Messiah. We just are coming out of the Christmas season and the birth of Jesus, and we can see kind of the landscape of the Jews and in Israel, and we can see the Romans, and Israel was waiting for a political savior, a political Messiah, a military warrior. And what they got was they got a Jesus that came as a baby in a manger. Now that's not, I mean, that's not like what you're expecting as the prayer. That's like, I need an $8,000 check and you sent me like an old angel who jumped in a river. It's like, I need a political Messiah warrior to help me from Roman oppression. And what you sent me was this little dude in a manger, in a stall to an unwed mother. This is not what I asked for. Like, I put my money in the cosmic vending machine and hit A7 and the wrong chips fell down. Like, this is not what I was looking for. They wanted a Messiah to free them from Roman oppression, but Jesus was God working to earn our souls. And I talk about it all the time, and if you're a believer, you know it, but Jesus Christ came to redeem the soul of all of humanity and to right all of the wrongs that we had done through the totality of human history. And they're like, we need a political savior. And God's like, I'm going to be a little bit more holistic than that, but you're not really going to understand what I'm doing, okay? So I'm going to answer your prayer for a Messiah. I'm just going to do it way better than what you thought. Because see, God, and I wrote this down in my notes because I want to make sure that I get it right, if I can find it. I can't find it, but I'll tell you what I wrote down. What I wrote down is that God gives comprehensive answers to partial prayers. And I know in my life, when I hit my breaking point moments and I'm praying, so often I'm praying for something specific. And what I don't realize is that God wants to do something much more holistic than what I'm asking for, much more gracious than what I'm asking for, much more beautiful than what I'm asking for, I know this isn't proper English, much gooder than what I'm asking for. His goodness is just overwhelming, and he's going to answer the prayer in that kind of way, but it's probably going to be in a way that I don't expect. And so, you know, when Jesus came, right, to redeem the world, John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. So God was answering a prayer that was a partial prayer. We need a political savior, and he's like, I'm just going to give you the holistic thing that you don't even yet know to ask me for. And it may not be exactly what you think you need, but it's actually what you need. And that's what happened in the Wonderful Life movie. And so I have a question is, what do you want right now? Breaking point prayers, what do you want in your life? And then the better question is, what do you need? And I don't mean that that scrubs out what you want. I think George Bailey was very happy after God did the work and changed his perspective after George's prayer. And by the way, before I move on and close with number five, do you know that nothing actually changed in George's life except for perspective? Really fascinating that what George really needed was a different perspective. And then I guess you could say, well, also what changed is the city brought him, you know, all the town brought him $8,000. Like, that's a change. Yeah, that's a change too. And that is what George wanted and what George needed. And hey, isn't it crazy that God will meet us in our prayers. He really does. He just doesn't always do it in the timing or in the way that we think or expect. So I said I would close out point four with that. There's one more thing I want to give you here. How do we go on a journey of perspective change with God? And again, this is not rocket science. New perspective comes by engaging new prayer. New perspective comes by engaging new prayer. So when you hit a breaking point, you have to lean into prayer. You have to lean into God. And when you lean into God and you lean into prayer, you get new perspective. And oftentimes, God is meeting us and answering our prayers. Yes, sometimes in the physical circumstances of our life, but oftentimes in our perspective. He's reworking places of bondages, lies that we've believed. He's working, he's giving us new dreams. He's giving us new vision. He's teaching us how to be more effective in relationships. It all comes through prayer, breaking point prayer. So 2022 prayer equals 2022 perspective. And God invites us to new perspective, but we have to engage it. Again, 21 days of prayer, guys, first 3 days. Let's do this. Number five, I'll close with this. Fifth idea on prayer is that God still actively works in our breaking point prayers. God still actively works in our, today, God is still working through prayer. God works through prayer. He absolutely does, 100%. And I know, again, we're obviously this movie is a caricature a little bit. You know, there's like this angel that comes down and, you know, and all this stuff. But here's the deal. I believe that God is a supernatural God who still actively answers prayers. And sometimes he does that supernaturally in natural ways where we see it naturally walk out. And sometimes he does it in supernatural ways that are absolutely supernatural. But I will tell you this as we close this morning is that prayers don't have to be performed from a holy place. There are no, there's no limit on where you can pray from. And whether that's a geography or a state of living, God wants you to pray to him from wherever you are. And prayers don't have to be long. Sometimes the most simple prayers are the most beautiful and powerful prayers. Prayers don't have to be eloquent. They just have to be authentic. And then you know what? God answers prayer sometimes in ways we don't understand. He gives us new perspective, but he's still working, and he's still working in our breaking point moments. And so I'll close this morning with this. Do you know that God came to give you a wonderful life and me a wonderful life? And what we need to do is in our breaking point moments, we need to lean in with him because that's where he changes our perspective. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, but I've come that you may have life, have a wonderful life, and have it in abundance. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning, God. I pray that the breaking points of our past seasons, God, would be catalytic moments of prayer. And God, I believe for fresh perspective as we move into 2022, God, I pray for a new urgency and a new hunger for prayer. God, for everybody in the sound of my voice, God, I pray that this would be the year, God, that we press deeper than we've ever pressed before. God, I pray that in the breaking point moments, we wouldn't lean out of you, we'd lean into you. And God, I pray that when we were worried about eloquence, we'd be worried instead about authenticity. And God, where we're worried about the amount of words and the length of prayer, God, we'd be worried instead, God, about just the simplicity of prayer. God, where we're worried about, well, it's not the right place or it's not the right time or it's not the right circumstance or it's not the right scenario or I'm not sure if God really would hear my prayer because of what I've done, that God, we would worry more, not about where we're praying from, but the fact that we're praying at all. And so I just pray a fresh hunger and a fresh desire to be in your presence. And I pray that as we're in your presence, I pray for illumination and revelation and fresh perspective. God, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know you more. God, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we'd be able to see, God, the glorious hope that you have laid out for us. God, it's a wonderful life. Trials, yes. Breaking points, sometimes. But God, you've called us to you in those moments. And God, we truly can experience a wonderful life. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this with me. I want to pray with you. Just pray this after me. Say, God, thank you for Jesus Christ. I believe he's your son. I believe he came and lived a sinless life and paid for my sin. And I believe he died to pay for every wrong thing that I've ever done. And that 3 days later, he resurrected in order to show that he had the authority and power over death, hell, and the grave, and that he could open the pathway to eternal life. I receive that sacrifice, and I receive that gift right now. Jesus calls me into eternal life. I receive it now. I surrender my life to you, God. Come in and have every part of me. Show me how to talk to you. Show me how to pray. I may not be a praying man or a woman, but God, if you're listening, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. And God, I pray that you will, and I know that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.